إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fifth session from the book entitled Min Akhlaq Al-Anbiya, Character and Morals of the Prophets alayhim as-salam. Yani the character and the morals of the Prophets alayhi wasalam that we should take as a model to be followed. And the author, Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan Hafidhullah, has collected in this book approximately 20 characteristics from the character and morals of the Prophets alayhi wasalatu wasalam. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to start with the first of them. Yani the first of these character traits of the Prophets of Allah alayhi wasalam. In the previous sessions, we have discussed the introductory or preliminary comments that the Shaykh Hafidhullah mentions, yani leading up to the topic that we want to open today. And from amongst those very important preliminary statements, from amongst them, yani the Shaykh showed that it is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made some people to excel or to surpass others. And the Shaykh, he mentioned in brief, in passing, that even though the people give high status or standing to other people based on worldly things, but the real high status or high standing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon Iman. And from amongst the people of Iman, there are some who excel others from amongst the people of Iman, and that is based upon knowledge. And from them, amongst the people of knowledge, the highest of them in status and standing, it is the Anbiya, the Prophets of Allah alayhi wasalam. And we also mentioned from amongst the Muqaddimat that the author Hafidhullah mentions, and that is that even amongst the Prophets and Messengers, there are some who excel others. From amongst them are the Ulul Azm, those who have firm resolution or resolve. And from amongst them, there is superiority for the two close dear friends of Allah, Al-Khalilan, that is Ibrahim alayhi salam and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Khatim Al-Anbiya, he is the seal of the Prophets and he is the yani preferred of all prophets and messengers alayhimu salatu wassalam, and we have been commanded to follow him and he had been commanded to follow the prophets before him, and therefore this yani leads us to understand that we should follow as he has been commanded to follow. We should follow the ways of the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhimu salam, yani in their character, in their manners, their guidance, their da'wah, and so on. So today, inshallah, we would like to mention the first of the characteristics that the Shaykh has brought to us. Indeed, it is from amongst the most important of them. But before we do that, we will look quickly at what we took last week from the study guide, questionnaire study guide from lecture number 4. The first question explained the intended meaning of the expression Jawami al-Kalim. Naam, Ibrahim.
Yeah.
كثير من المعاني العظيمة. جميلة. شيء. جزاك الله خير. What is the meaning of this somebody? What is the meaning? What's he saying here? نعم. أبو جميل. نعم. Few words. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would speak with few words, but within them, يعني there's great and beautiful meanings within that kalima or jumla. يعني just a small expression, but it has great meanings, beautiful meanings. نعم. The second question, and this is from the what? This is from the khasais of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني the things that were given particularly to him. Discuss the importance and significance of the earth being made a masjid and a tahur. يعني what is the significance or the importance of the نعم أحمد. يعني the previous nations, they used to only pray in specific special places that were made for salah. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has been given this special يعني distinction that for he and for his ummah. يعني as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أَدْرَخَتُهُ السَّلَاةِ فَيُصَلِّي. يعني any person from my ummah, if the salat time for salat comes, then he should pray, he must pray wherever he is, because the whole earth has been made as a masjid. And it has been made as a means of purification. So no matter where you might be in the earth, whether you're near a masjid or there's no masjid, you're in the street, in the road, in the woods, in the forest, in the jungle, wherever you are, in the desert, yeah, you can pray there. You can use the surface soil of the earth as a means of purification and you can pray in that place. This is tremendous that the other people had to find a place to pray. We don't have to do that. You didn't find a masjid, you can pray wherever you are. Only with the exceptions that have been made in the Sharia that are well known to us. Number three, discuss al-Shafa'a, its two main divisions and some of its types affirmed for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani al-Shafa'a and its two main divisions and some of the types of Shafa'a that have been confirmed for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam. 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 Al-Khasa. Okay. Naam. There's khasa and there's amma. These are the two types, the main types that Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah said in some of his books, including Lumat al-I'tiqad, that al-Shafa'a, yani it is divided into two main types, that is khasa and amma. And the khasa is that which is particular, specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the exclusion of others. And the amma means it's general for him and for others besides him, yani including the other prophets and the angels and the believers and so on. Okay? Khasa and amma. Yani that which is particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which is general for him and others besides him. And as far as the khasa, then this is specifically in reference to what? Naam? Naam. Al-Shafa'a al-Udhma. Yani the great intercession on the Day of Judgment. Which is what? What is it? In detail, can anybody know what is this great intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Naam. Naam. That on the Yawm al-Qiyamah the people would be in fear. Yani it would be in hardship and difficulty because of the approach of the judgment. And the people would ask, yani the prophets, various prophets, they would go from one to another asking them to intercede, to begin the judgment, get it on. And none of them would accept to intercede except the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would intercede and Allah would come forward to begin the judgment. This is a shafa'a al-uzma, the great intercession that's exclusive to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone. And the general intercession is in reference to what? Huh? The general intercession, that's for the Prophet and others besides him. For the sinners, the ahl kabair, from amongst the believers. For the sinners, yani major sinners from amongst the believers who would be in the hellfire, who would be punished for their sins, to intercede for them to what? To bring them out of the hellfire. And this is something that is general. It's not only for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but other prophets and messengers and the angels and some of the believers, martyrs and so on, will be allowed to intercede to take some of the people who committed major sins, due to which they would be punished. Not permanently, but they will come out of the hellfire by intercession of those who are allowed to intercede. And some of the other intercessions that yani have been affirmed for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we mentioned I think six others. Six besides the general and khas. And from amongst them, anybody remember any of them? Any of those six? Now, that one, to reduce the punishment. Yani that's specific to Abu Talib, his uncle. Now, another? Some people would enter paradise without count, without account being taken of them. Now, now. To raise the status of some people who are from the people of paradise. Now. To raise their station. Now. What else? That's three. Now. Naam, that's yeah, if a child dies early, they will be allowed to intercede. But we're talking about specific intercession, not specific people, but a type of intercession. Yani raising of people's status, reducing their punishment, allowing people to enter without accounting. And there's also the people whose good deeds and evil deeds will be equal, to allow them to enter the paradise. And some people who were commanded to be thrown into the hellfire to prevent them, to save them from the hellfire. And that's five, right? And there should be one more that we mentioned. Yani for the believers in general, for the believers to enter the paradise. Yani when the judgment has been made and people have been judged, then when will the people actually enter? When the Prophet ﷺ intercedes for the people to enter, for the believers to enter. After this, we mention question number four, complete this statement that is from the 12th muqaddimah, the 12th preliminary statement. Since the Prophets alayhi salam are the best of humanity, it follows that what? Naam. Follows that what? And the akhlaqum, naam. So it follows then that if they are the best of humanity, then their character is the best of character. And their adab, their manners are the best of manners. Al itlaq, absolutely, without any exception. Their character is the best of character. And their manners is the best of manners. Absolutely, without exception. They are the best of humanity. And all of those introductory statements are leading towards what? The fact that if they are the best of humanity and they are the best of character, then they are the ones that we should be following. That we take for an example. And number five, discuss the significance and reason why Allah commanded the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to follow the earlier Prophets ﷺ, along with the ayah containing this command. And this is from the 13th Muqaddimah. What is yani the reason why, or the significance of Allah ordering the Prophet Muhammad to follow yani the earlier Prophets? Naam. Naam. Fadl. Naam. Naam. Because their high station, the high status of the Prophets and the greatness of their character and their guidance and their da'wah and their example. So for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow them. Yani who else could he have ordered them to follow except the other Prophets and messengers who came before him? And the ayah containing this command is in what surah? Surah Al-An'am. Naam. Fadl. Naam. What is the meaning of this? This is six surah, Surah Al-An'am, 90th ayat, and the meaning of it is what? Naam. Somebody else. Ulaika alladhina hadallah, Musa. Naam. These are those whom Allah has guided. Therefore follow their guidance. Therefore, follow their guidance. And after this, question number six, mention evidences from Quran of the superiority of the akhlaq, the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the 14th muqaddimah. What are some ayahs from the Quran that support this? Abu Sa'id. That he doesn't speak from his desires. It is but revelation that is revealed. Naam. This is in what surah? Surah An-Najm, in the beginning of the surah, 53rd surah, 3rd ayah. Naam. Abu Jamil. Naam, from Surah Al-Qalam, yani, which surah is this? Number? 68. And also from the beginning of the surah, first few ayats, right? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, definitely you are upon a high standard of character, yani, the deen of Islam. Naam. And another one? Naam. Naam, meaning? مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ. Yani, it has not swayed. It has not gone off the track from where it has been directed to. وَمَا
وَمَا طَغَى.
It has not transgressed the limits of what Allah has set for it. Naam. These are some of the ayahs that the Shaykh mentioned. Huh? Naam, 53:17. Jazakallah khair. And after this, memorize an evidence from the Quran directing the Muslims to follow our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the 15th muqaddimah. Naam, Abdullah. Naam, and the meaning of it? Somebody else. What is the meaning of this ayah? From what surah is it? Surah Ahzab. What ayah? Number? Huh? 21. Naam. What is the meaning of it? Example. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Naam, indeed, certainly, definitely, you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent example, أُصْوَ حَسَنًا, an example to be followed. For whoever, يعني, has hope in Allah in the last day, and who remembers Allah much. يعني, whoever has iman, believing in Allah in the last day, this would be a motivating factor, يعني, that would enable them, that would, يعني, push them, to follow the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the people that Allah will give success to actually follow him. And other people, they will not follow him. They will follow some other example. And any example other than the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani that's in conflict with his example, is a bad example. Yani qudwa sayyia. And number 8, summarize the points which show the lofty status of akhlaq, moral character in Islam. The 16th muqaddimah. Yani the Shaykh mentioned 6 points. 6 points. See if we can get some of them at least. First one. Anybody know the first one? Musa. Allah has praised, commended the Prophet ﷺ's character in the ayah that we mentioned previously. Naam. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. A second one. Naam. Abu Sa'id. The Prophet was best in character and he used to supplicate Allah asking for good character. And he used to supplicate Allah asking for good character. He was the best of character. Naam. This shows the great, yani the magnificence of character in Islam. Naam. The third one. Naam. Fadl. Islam has made good character the means of nearness to Allah. Naam. The nearest of people to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment would be those of good character. That's 4. Somebody else give me another one. There are 2 of why we should avoid bad character. One of them is the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam, he used to say what? And the rest, the second part of it? Anni sayyaha illa anta. Yani, oh Allah, guide me to the best good character, and none guides to good character except you, and turn away from the evil character, and none turns away from the evil character except you. Naam. And one more? Good character affects a person's deeds. Anybody know the hadith that the Shaykh mentioned? Inna su al khuluq yufsidu al amala. Huh? كما يفسد الخل العسل. يعني that evil character spoils, corrupts, ruins deeds, ruins your deeds in the same way that vinegar spoils the honey. And the Shaykh mentioned some hadith, يعني for each one of these points, يعني for the sake of time, inshallah, please go back to them. And these show the high, lofty status of character in Islam. And the last question mentioned 3 basic reasons why a Muslim must be attentive to enhancing his or her character. And this is the 17th or next to the last, Muqaddimah. 3 basic reasons. In this 17th Muqaddimah, next to the last one, the Shaykh mentioned a few things in there. And we can probably derive from them 2 or 3 reasons why we must give care to improving, enhancing our character. Naam, Abdullah. Okay, good. This is the last point that he mentioned. That good character is a means of silent da'wah. Yani that even without speaking, a person's character, when it's witnessed, wallahi, it affects the people. And the kafirs, they used to say, actions speak louder than words. Allahu alam, there's no doubt that actions definitely speak. And good character speaks. It's a silent da'wah. And it might be more powerful than words, because people speak, but they don't act on what they speak. So that's why the people, the dumb people, they tell their children, do what I say, not what I do. Because their actions are evil. So they tell people, do what I say, but nobody's going to listen to what you say if you don't act in accordance with what you say. So actions are very important. And the first two that the Shaykh mentioned? Naam. Reason why we should try to enhance and polish and improve, correct and rectify our character. Naam, Abu Sa'id. And the last thing you said?
Good character is of noble status in this life and the next.
Naam, good character is of noble status. It gives the person a reward. Yani, it improves. It raises their status in the deen and in the dunya. And in the barzakh and in the akhirah. Yani, the high status of the prophets and the high status of their akhlaq. That is the reason for us to yani, look to them and improve our characters similar to theirs. And also because of the high status and the high degrees, the lofty status of character in Islam in front of Allah, that good character has a high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people of good character. After this, we want to mention tonight, yani the first of those characteristics. The first of those characteristics of the prophets and messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Shaykh mentions. And the first of them that he mentions is خَشْيَتُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. يعني their خَشْيَة of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني من أخلاق الأنبياء عليهم السلام أنهم أكثر الناس خشية لربهم فهم عليهم السلام أعلم الناس بالله. يعني from the character of the prophets عليهم السلام is that they are أكثر الناس خشية, يعني that they have more fear of Allah than all of the rest of the people. And this is because they are the most knowledgeable of the people in knowledge of Allah. يعني الخشية is something that all of us have an idea what it is, and probably some of us know exactly what it is. يعني how would we describe خشية? What do we mean by خشية? خشية to Naam. Fear based upon knowledge. Excellent. Mumtaz. Naam. Any other? Fear and what?
Humility.
And humility. Yani fear, yani being humble due to fear of Allah. Naam. Anything else? Naam. The awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we mean by awe? What does that mean? What does awe mean? Yani, it is a type of fear that's due to what? The greatness, the magnificence, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these meanings are part of it. I just want to read a couple of definitions that some of the scholars of the people of Sunnah have given for khashya, to have a clearer idea on what it is precisely. And there are many aspects that we have mentioned here that are included in the meaning of al-khashya. Al-Isfahani, rahimahullah, he said that Al-Khashya, it is خَوْفٌ يَشُوبُهُ تَعْظِيمٌ وَأَكْثَرُ مَا يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ عِلْمٍ بِمَا يَخْشَى مِنْهُ. يعني the khashya is a type of fear that is mixed within it تَعْظِيمٌ. يعني a fear that contains within it. Within that fear, there's ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani recognizing the exaltation, the glorification, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just fear, like you're afraid of something, but fear that contains within it, ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he goes on to say what? وأكثر ما يكون ذلك عن علم بما يخشى منه. And this is mostly, يعني this occurs mostly due to knowledge of that which you have fear from. يعني it is due to knowledge. يعني the person who has knowledge of Allah, then they have khashya of Allah. Because you have knowledge. It's not just fear that you're just afraid of something that you don't know out of ignorance. But rather because you know the greatness and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, خَوْفٌ مَقْرُونٌ بِمَعْرِفَةٍ وَهِيَ أَخَصُّ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ. And this is another aspect of the same definition that we mentioned, but he worded it differently. He said it is خَوْفٌ, fear, مَقْرُونٌ بِمَعْرِفَةٍ, يعني that is accompanied with يعني معرفة, يعني knowledge, or يعني being acquainted with that which you fear, or the one that you fear. وَهِيَ أَخَصُّ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ. And this is more specific and particular than خَوْف. خَوْف is general, and خَشَى is more specific than just general fear. But it's a certain special kind of fear. الشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله says, فَالْخَوْفُ يَمْنَعُ الْعَبْدِ مِنْ مَحَارِمُ اللَّهِ. That fear, general fear, prohibits, يعني general fear, يعني just in the general sense, it prohibits the abd from the things that Allah has prohibited. وَتُشَارِكُهُ الْخَشْيَ فِي ذَلِكَ وَتَزِيدُ أَنَّ خَوْفَهُ مَقْرُونٌ بِمَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ. And again, this is another definition that's included in the first one, but he worded it a little bit different. He said that fear, يعني, he's making a distinction between fear and خَشْيَ. خَوْف and خَشْيَ. خَوْف is fear that prohibits the servant from the things that Allah has prohibited. And khashya also shares in this meaning, that it prohibits the abd, the worship of Allah, from that which he has prohibited. But it has something more, tazidu. Yani that this type of the khashya is a khawf that is accompanied by ma'rifatillah, by being acquainted with Allah. So it is sharing in one meaning with khawf, but it has something more, and that is ma'rifah or ilm. A second definition that gives us something different than what has been mentioned is from Al-Khafaji in his book Naseem Al-Riyad. He said, وَالْخَشْيَةُ هِيَ الْخَوْفُ مَا الْإِجْلَالُ وَالتَّعْظِيمُ. That Al-Khashya, it is fear, khawf, along with Al-Ijlal والتعظيم. Yani along with what? Ijlal, yani veneration, reverence, and ta'zeem, exaltation and glorification. And it is a fear that's accompanied by reverence and exaltation or glorification. So this is one aspect of khashya that also should be included when we think about what we're talking about here, the khashya of the anbiya for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they have fear of Allah, but that fear is accompanied by knowledge of Allah, by ma'rifah, acquaintance with Allah, by ta'zeem and ijlal, reverence for Allah, veneration for Allah, exaltation and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the difference between al-khashya and khawf that we have looked at in these definitions, al-Imam al-Qurtubi says, rahimahullah, that some of the people, meaning some of the scholars, have distinguished between al-khashya, yani al-khawf and al-khashya, have distinguished between them. So they said al-khashya is ashaddu al-khawf. It's the strongest type of fear. And they distinguish it in what way? That khashya is a fear, but is ashaddu al-khawf. It's the strongest type of fear. And it has also been said, he said, wal-khawf at-tatallu' li-nafs al-darar, wal-khashya at-tatallu' li-fa'il al-darar. Yani that al-khawf, it is that the person is looking to the thing that they are fearing the harm from, the harm itself. While khashya is looking to the one who does that harm, who will harm you. Yani meaning that al-khawf, it is in consideration of the thing that you fear harm from. But khashya is looking to the one that you fear the harm from, who you fear may punish you. And finally, yani الشيخ الوثيمين رحمه الله, he says that it has been said, yani concerning الخوف من الخشية. And we'll close this discussion of Al-Khashya with this statement from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. He said that it has been said that Al-Khashya is a naw'un min al-khawf. Yani the Khashya is a type of fear. A special type. It's more particular, it's greater, it's more severe, stronger than just regular fear. وَلَكِنَّهَا خَصُّ مِنْهُ. But it is more particular. And the difference between them are two differences, the Shaykh says. Number one, that al-khashya takunu ma'al ilm bil-makhsha bil-makhshi wa halihi. That the first difference is that khashya will occur with knowledge of the one that you fear, and knowledge of his state and condition and status. Al-khashya, it will be along with knowledge of the one that you fear. And this is based on the saying of Allah, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That verily indeed, those who fear Allah, and they are the only ones who fear Allah, from amongst His ibad, are the ulama. Yani based upon knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani الْخَشَّةَ تَكُونُ مَا الْعِلْمُ بِالْمَخْشِي وَحَالِهِ. Yani having knowledge of the one that you fear. While khawf, قد يكون من الجاهل. While just general fear would be from an ignorant person. An ignorant person may have fear of something. But khashya is that fear that's based upon knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's different. The second difference between them, he said, أن الخشية تكون بسبب عظمة المخشي بخلاف الخوف. فقد يكون من ضعف الخائف لا من قوة المخوف. And the second difference, the Shaykh said, is that al-khashya takunu bi-sababi azamat al-makhshi. Yani it is due to, it is caused by the magnificence and the greatness of the one being feared. Yani al-khashya is due to what? The magnificence of the one that you fear, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While al-khawf, general fear, would be from the weakness of the one who is fearful. Not due to the strength of that which he fears. Meaning that al-khashya, a person has khashya because they know the magnificence, the greatness, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas fear, a person might fear someone or something just due to their own weakness. Due to their weakness. Yani fear due to the person who's weak, so they fear everything. But khashya is not due to your weakness, rather it's due to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are some of the definitions that the scholars of Sunnah and their others have given. And I thought that it is worthy, of mentioning these matters, for the benefit of having a clearer idea of the importance of al-khashya and the difference between it and general fear. That khashya is based upon knowledge. It is more severe than just general fear. And that knowledge is the knowledge of Allah and the knowledge of His greatness and His glory and His magnificence. And it is due to not fear of the thing that might harm you, but rather fear of the one who will cause that harm to you. We will come to it now. It's Surah Al-Fatir. And the ayah that we mentioned is Surah Al-Fatir. 35th Surah, 28th ayah. 35, 28. So the Shaykh, and he going back to this meaning, the Shaykh, he says that from the character of the Prophets alayhi salam is that they are the most fearful of their Rabb than any of the other people. And this is because they are the most knowledgeable of the people, the most knowledgeable of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from amongst all the people. And then he quoted as a proof for this that the greatness of the fear of the Prophets is due to the greatness of their knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 28th Ayat, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That indeed, these and only these from amongst the servants of Allah have fear of Allah, have khashya of Allah, have awe of Allah, it is those who are the ulama, the people who have knowledge of Allah. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says concerning this ayat, كُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ عَالَمْ كَانَ أَكْثَرُ لَهُ خَشْيَةً, that the, as much as a person is more knowledgeable of Allah, to that extent he will have more fear of Allah. And this fear of Allah will require or necessitate that that person refrain from acts of disobedience. Yani the more a person has knowledge of Allah, the more they will have fear of Allah. And this khashya of Allah that's based upon knowledge, this will cause the person, it will necessitate, أَوْجَبَتْهُ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ, yani this khashya of Allah will necessitate that he what? انْكِفَافْ عَنَ الْمَعَاسِ, that he will refrain and hold back from acts of disobedience. وَالْاِسْتِعْدَادْ لِلِّقَى مَنْ يَخْشَاهُ, and that this fear of Allah will cause the person, will necessitate that they prepare for the meeting with the one that they fear. And if the person has khashya, they watch their speech and their action and their behavior and their character and their manners, because they are in preparation for this inevitable reality that they're going to meet this one that they fear. So they prepare for it, the one who has knowledge of Allah and khashya of Allah. وَهَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَى فَضْلِ الْعِلْمِ فَإِنَّهُ دَعَنْ إِلَى خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, and this is an indication of the excellence of knowledge, for indeed knowledge calls the person and invites the person to have fear of Allah. And it is the people who have fear of Allah, who have khashya of Allah, they are the people of honor, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor, as Allah mentions in the Quran, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ, that radiyallahu anhum, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him, and that is for those who have khashya of their Rabb. Indeed, the people who have khashya of Allah, they are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with, and the people that Allah will honor. So the Shaykh says, وَالْأَنْبِيَا أَخْشَى النَّاسِ لِلَّهِ, and the prophets, they are the most fearful, the people who have the most fear from amongst all humanity. They are the people who have the most khashya of Allah. And for this reason, whoever reflects upon the noble ayats of the Quran and the prophetic, yani akhbar, yani news, information that came concerning the prophets alayhi salam, they will see tens, rather hundreds of examples of how the prophets and messengers, yani, manifested their fear of Allah. Yani they had true fear of Allah, and it was manifested in their actions. And this khashya of Allah, of the prophets, is found throughout the Quran and is found in the Sunnah. And whoever reflects upon it, it could be an example and a motivation for ourselves, so that when we fall into error, we make a mistake, we commit a sin, we do something displeasing to Allah, we should fear Allah and we should respond to our error and our mistake and our sin with turning back to Allah and manifesting the correction of our behavior out of true khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First example the Shaykh gives is the example of Adam alayhi salam. قال الله عز وجل عنه وناداهما ربهما ألم أنهكما عن تلكما الشجرة وأقول لكما إن الشيطان لكما عدو مبين. يعني سورة الأعراف, 7th surah, 22nd ayat. وناداهما ربهما, their Rabb, the Rabb of the two of them, yani Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa, their Lord called out to them, أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا, have I not prohibited both of you, أَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجْرَ, from that tree, وَأَكُلْ لَكُمَا, and I have said to both of you, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, أَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ is a clear, open enemy of you two. نعم, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call out to them, didn't I prohibit you from that tree? Didn't I say to you that shaitan is your open enemy? فَبَادَرَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. So how did Adam respond to this? Did he think about it? Did he make excuses? Did he try to tell a lie? Did he try to escape from his behavior, his error, his mistake? Rather, قَالَ رَبَّنَا
ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين.
They both said, Adam and his wife, عليهم السلام. Adam and his wife said,
ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا.
Oh, our Rabb, we have wronged our own selves. We have what? ظلمنا أنفسنا. We have wronged our own selves. And ظلم, as the scholars of the Sunnah have explained, is of two types. And we discussed this previously from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen's explanation when we were doing some other book. Naam, ظلم is of two types. ظلم لنفس وظلم لغير. يعني the wrong that you do to your own self and the wrong that you do to others. And the greatest wrong that a person does to their own self is shirk. Is shirk. And that's why the scholars of Sunnah say most of the time when ظلم is mentioned in the Quran, most of the time it's talking about shirk. Because it's the greatest ظلم. But it's not the only ظلم. يعني there's ظلم that you do to yourself and there's ظلم that you do to others. Here, we find what? The response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani admonishing Adam and his wife. And yani they both said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged our own selves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَلَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, then we will definitely be of the losers. If you do not forgive us, yani cover up the effect, the consequence of this sin, and have mercy upon us and protect us from our wrong, then indeed we will be from amongst the losers. Yani instantly responding to one's error and mistake, this is a manifestation of the one who has knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his greatness and his glory, and fears the consequence of one's disobedience. Now, fadl. And the second example the Shaykh gives is the example of Nuh alayhi salam. لما سأل ربه عز وجل نجاة ابنه وتبين أنه لم يوفق إلى الصواب وبين له ربه خطأ ذلك منه بادر عليه السلام ولم يتوانى واستغفر ربه. يعني نوح عليه السلام, the Shaykh says, when he asked his Rabb to save his son, يعني his son who he called to get on the safina, but he refused, whom he begged to join him, but he refused. So then, yani when it became clear that his son is gonna be destroyed with the people of disobedience and sin and corruption, so Nuh alayhi salam asked for Allah to save his son. Don't let him drown with them. But when it became clear to him, أنه لم يوفق إلى الصواب, that he was in error, he didn't hit the mark. He didn't hit the mark. He was in error in his position that he had taken in the request that he made from Allah. When it became clear to him, بَيَّنَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ خَطَى, and Allah made clear to him his mistake in asking, making this request, بَادْرَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, yani he hastened, وَلَمْ يَتَوَانَ, and he didn't hesitate or delay. He didn't waver or wait. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ, but he immediately sought forgiveness of his Rabb. And Allah mentions this in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 45th and 46th and then 47th Ayat. وَنَادَى نُوحٌ رَبَّهُ, and Nuh alayhi salam, he called out to his Rabb. فَقَالَ رَبِّي إِنَّ إِبْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي. O my Rabb, indeed my son is from my family. وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ, and your promise is true. Yani you promised to save my family. And your promise is true. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ, and you are the best of judges, the most just of judges. قَالَ يَا نُوحُ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to him, يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ أَهْلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ. يَا نُوحُ, verily, he is not from your family. And he is not from the righteous of your family, the obedient, the believers, who the promise, my promise is for them. He is not from them. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ, and he is one whose deeds are unrighteous. He is not from those who the promise is for. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, So don't ask of me that which you have no knowledge of. It's an error. إني أعظك أن تكون من الجاهلين. I warn you, I admonish you, so that you will not be from amongst the ignorant. فبادر نوح عليه السلام خشية وخوفا. So Noah hastened out of awe of Allah and fear of Allah. وطمعا في مرضات الله, and out of hope of earning the pleasure of Allah. وخشية عقابه وسخطه, and also out of fear of his punishment and his displeasure. He hastened, قال ربي إني أعوذ بك أن أسألك ما ليس لي به علم. Said, verily, O my Rabb, indeed I seek refuge in you, that from asking you ما ليس لي به علم, that which I have no knowledge of. يعني he asked without knowledge. He didn't know really what was the end of his son, what was the condition fully, يعني what he was asking, was this something correct or not, يعني was his son included in the promise or not. He asked without knowledge. He asked without knowledge. He said, oh my Rabb, I seek refuge in you from asking you for that which, يعني asking for that which I have no knowledge of. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرُ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُنْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you do not forgive me, and if you do not have mercy on me, I will indeed be amongst the losers. نعم. The third example the Shaykh gives is the example of Yunus, Dhunnun, Jonah, the companion of the fish, alayhi salam. غَضِبَ عَلَى قَوْمِهِ. He became angry with his people. وَسَخَّتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And he was displeased with them. وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ. He became angry, he was displeased with them, and he lost patience. وَلَكِنْ لَمَّا نَبَّحَهُ رَبُّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ رَجَعَ فَبَادَرَ وَلَمْ يَتَوَانْ. But when Allah يعني brought it to his attention, his mistake, his error, he returned from his error. فَبَادَرَ, and he hastened, and he didn't يعني delay. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 77th Ayat. And we should also look at the 87th Ayat. And also the Shaykh mentions the 87th Ayat, but the Ayat that follows it is also very significant. Very significant in this يعني point. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَذَنُّون إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. يعني remember Dhunnun, that is Yunus alayhi salam, when he left his people يعني in a state of anger, and he thought, he imagined that we would not overcome him, يعني that he would not be punished for such. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. So what? يعني you know the story. The people, he tried to escape, he went on the ship, storm came, in the end of the matter, he got thrown overboard. And the people didn't want to throw him, they knew he was a righteous man, but they ended up having to do so. And his name came up as the one who had to go off the ship. And he was swallowed by the fish. And while he was in the belly of the whale, in the darkness of the night, in the depths of the sea, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. So he called out in these darknesses, Alla ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. He called out, declaring first, La ilaha illa anta, that there is no one that deserves to be worshipped except you, Allah alone. Subhanaka, declaring Allah's perfection, being free from any shortcoming, mistake, error, or defect. And then declaring his own error and mistake, Yani inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Indeed, I was from the people who did zulm. يعني what kind of ظلم was this? ظلم لنفسه first and foremost. But also it was to his people, because he left them. He didn't have patience with them without having permission to leave. إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And there is no doubt that this statement or this supplication of Yunus alayhi salam is tremendous. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah wrote a whole book on this, and hundreds of pages on this statement of Yunus alayhi salam. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. This is in Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 87th Ayat. And after this the Shaykh says, and also in Surah Al-Safat, 37th Surah, 143-146. فلولا أنه كان من المصبحين. If it were not for the fact that he was from those who used to clear Allah's يعني perfection, tasbih, and tahmid, and takbir, and salat. If it wasn't for the fact that he was from those who were constantly engaged in worship of Allah, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, he would have remained in the belly of the whale until the day when people are raised up. Meaning that would have been his grave. He would have died there in that fish, and he would be raised up from that grave. فَنَبَذْنَاهُ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ السَّقِيمِ. But instead, because he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we cast him forth on the open shore while he was sick from being in the belly of the whale. وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنَ الْيَقْطِينِ. And we have caused to grow over him a certain type of tree, يَقْطِينِ, yani a certain type of plant. As some of the scholars, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, it was like a shade for him. And it was also a tree that the flies didn't fall upon. So he had protection from the heat and protection from the bugs in that condition. فَدَعَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَوَحَّدَهُ وَسَعَلَهُ أَنْ يُنْجِيَهُ فَاسْتَجَابَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ ذَلِكَ لَهُ. So he called out, he supplicated to his Rabb, and he declared his oneness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone in deserving to be worshipped. And he asked him to save him. So Allah responded to him, yani in that request. And this is mentioned in the following ayat, and in the from Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 88th ayat, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So we answered him, we responded to him, and we saved him from that condition of difficulty and hardship that he was in, from the grief and trouble and distress that he was in. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this is very important, the end of the ayat. And like this, in the same way, we save those who believe. Yani in the same way that we saved Nuh, Yunus alayhi salam, in the same way, whoever is in distress, in difficulty and hardship, we will save them, yani because of their iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, the sahih, reported by Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Al-Hakim, and Al-Hakim said that it's sahih, and Al-Zahabi agreed with him, and Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani said that it is hasan. Yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the dua of Yunus, da'watu akhi Yunus, the supplication of my brother Yunus alayhi salam, ma da'a biha maqroob illa farrajallahu anhu kurbatahu, that no person who is in distress supplicates with this supplication except that Allah will grant him relief from his distress, from his trouble, from his fear, from his grief, from his condition. The Prophet ﷺ said, what is the dua? The da'wah of my brother Yunus? لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. There is no one in distress who calls upon Allah with this supplication except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them relief from their distress. This is a dua worthy of memorization, and it's also a dua worthy of understanding its meaning. Inshallah, go back to the books of hadith and the explanation, or to the books of tafsir and the explanation of this ayat concerning Yunus alayhi salam, and you will find a beautiful meaning that we don't have time to go into detail tonight. After this, the Shaykh gives two more examples. The example of Musa alayhi salam, yani we're talking about what? We're talking about the khashya of Allah. Yani the person who errs, makes a mistake, commits a sin knowingly, willingly, consciously, And then it's brought to their attention. They realize their error. What should they do? Should they hide it? Should they make excuses? Should they blame someone else? They should turn back to Allah, fearing Allah, knowing the majesty and greatness of Allah, that He deserves to be obeyed. And if we have erred, then we turn back and seek forgiveness and we repent. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us. The example of Musa alayhi salam. وَكَزَ رَجُلًا فَمَاتَ وَتَبَيِّنَ لَهُ خَطَأَ ذَلِكَ الْعَمْرُ. Yani the Shaykh, he says in brief, yani he summarizes the story that comes from, yani this reference that the Shaykh gives is in Suratul Qasas, 28th Surah, 15th Ayat. Yani he's summarizing the story. Yani that Musa alayhi salam, when he was in Egypt and he became a powerful man, and one day he was going through the streets and he saw two people fighting. One of them was from his people, from Bani Israel, and one of them was from the Christian people, the Qubt people. And they were his enemy. So the one who was from his people called out, asking for help. So he went to his help, he went to his aid. He hit the man, but because he was so powerful and so strong, he killed him. Not intentionally, accidentally, he killed him. And when it became clear the error that he made, he said, قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمِلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضِلٌ مُبِينٌ. That this is from the actions of Shaytan. Indeed, he is an enemy who leads astray, a clear enemy who leads astray. Yani immediately he realized his error, he recognized his error, he didn't try to cover it up or make something else out of it. He said, this is from min amal shaytan. What I have done is from the actions of shaytan. Innahu aduun mudillun mubeen. He is one, an open enemy who leads astray. Thumma sara'a alayhi salam fa'atarafa annahu zalama nafsahu wa sa'ala Allah al-maghfirah. So he hastened without delay, and he acknowledged and admitted that he had done an act of wrongdoing, dhulm. ظَلَمَ نَفْسَ, to himself, first and foremost. Yani the real consequence of it is upon yourself. And whoever wrongs others, in the end, the wrong comes back to yourself. So he asks Allah's forgiveness. And this is mentioned in the following ayat. Same surah, 28:16. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Oh my Rabb, indeed I have wronged myself. And he recognized his wrong, the dhulm that he did to himself. And because the greater harm is going to come to you on Yawm Qiyamah. Inni zalamtu nafsi faghfir li. So forgive me. Faghfara lahu. Innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. So Allah forgave him. Indeed, He is the all forgiving, the all merciful. And the final example that the Shaykh gives is the example of Dawood alayhi salam. Now, I missed one? The fourth one was Musa. The third one was Yunus. The second one was Noah, and the first one was Adam. This is the fifth one. Yunus. Oh, that's Yunus now. Sorry. That's Yunus now. Dhu Noon. Yunus, the one who was in the belly of the whale. Now. Dhu Noon. Naam. Yunus was number three. Musa is number four. And Dawood is number five. This is the fifth example and the last example that the Shaykh gives of the Prophets alayhi salam and the khashya of Allah when they made an error or mistake. How they turn to Allah without hesitation or delay, hastily returning, asking Allah's forgiveness and turning to Him in repentance, recognizing their error and openly recognizing it for what it is. Naam, that it is dhulm. Yani either dhulm to yourself or dhulm to yourself and others. The Shaykh mentions here from Surah As-Sad, 38th Surah, 24th Ayat. He says, كَانَ كَسَارِ إِخْوَانِهِ الْأَنْبِيَىٰ. Yani that Dawood was just like the rest of his brothers from amongst the Prophets عليهم السلام. سَرِيعًا فِي الْأَوْبَةِ وَالْعَوْدَةِ.
لما امتحنه الله عز وجل في الحكم بين الخصمين. يعني that he was just like the rest of his brothers from amongst the prophets, quick in returning في العوبة, in returning to Allah, والعودة, and coming back to Allah. يعني when he got off track, fell into error, mistake. When he was tested by Allah Azza wa Jalla in his judgment, his ruling between two disputants. Yani two brothers, brothers in Islam, or brothers, blood brothers, or close friends, who they call themselves brothers to one another. They came to him suddenly by surprise over a wall, and they frightened him. And they told him, don't be afraid, we are just two brothers who have a dispute, we want you to judge between us. And one of them spoke, and he said that this is my brother, he has so many animals, and I only have one, and he's asking me to give me the one that I have to put with his. Without hearing the rest of the story, it became clear, right, that he has wronged you. So he ruled on them without hesitating, without, yani, examining the matter carefully. This is the story as it came, yani. Yani, that Dawood alayhi salam ruled hastily between two disputants without even hearing the other side. But immediately after he made the ruling, he realized that perhaps he was being tested. It was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Shaykh mentions here from Surah Sa'd, 38th Surah, 24th Ayah, وَظَنَّ دَاوُودَ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّاهُ. That, yani, Dawood realized that perhaps he has been, that we have tested him, we have tried him, that this was a trial. فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ وَخَرَّ رَاقِعًا وَأَنَابٍ. So he sought forgiveness of his Rabb, and he fell down prostrate, and he turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani immediately, without hesitation, he sought forgiveness of his Rabb, he fell down prostrate, turning to Allah in repentance. And in closing, this first characteristic of the prophets and messengers, the Shaykh says, after mentioning these examples from amongst the prophets alayhi salam, of how they erred, they committed some act, mistake, khata, ghulm, and they rapidly, quickly, hastily, without hesitation, turned back to Allah, returned to Allah, sought His forgiveness, repented to Allah, to correct their behavior. Why? Due to their khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Due to their fear of Allah. Yani a fear that is mixed with knowledge and acquaintance of glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exaltation, reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he closes by saying, وَبِكُلِّ حَالٍ فَمَا عَمَالِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ مِنَ الْمَنَازِلِ الْمَنِيفَةِ وَرُطَبْ النبيلة الشريفة فقد كانوا أسرع الناس عوبة إذا تبين أنهم أخطأوا. That in any case, in spite of the great, yani, lofty station and the noble, honorable status of the prophets عليهم السلام, in spite of that, they were the quickest of the people to return, yani to turn back, إِذَا تَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهُمْ أَخْطَوُوا, if it became clear to them, when it became clear to them that they had erred, that they were mistaken, that they had made a mistake. They were the quickest of the people in hastening and turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is indeed an example to be followed. This is indeed an example to be followed. For the people of Iman, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that we have been commanded to follow him, and in the command to follow him is included the command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him with, to follow the prophets and messengers alayhi wasallam before him. May Allah make us of those who recognize the magnificence and the greatness and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his right that we obey him, and his right that we turn back to him hastily without hesitation if we find ourselves in error. If we find ourselves in error. When it became clear to us, correct ourselves, rectify our mistakes, and ask Allah's forgiveness. Inshallah, we stop here with this. And the questions that in the study guide for tonight, we reached up to the 8th question, so please look at questions 1 through 8, and the remaining questions will come in what follows next week, bi-idhni Allahi ta'ala. Any question about what we covered tonight, or something that was said that's not clear? If there's something that was said that's not clear, naam, or something that was said that could be yani erroneous, naam. It's lazim, yani a must that we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, naam.